Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Carissa Garcia on single Christians and their need for older Christians.
And for older people, I think knowing some dear friends who are older single people, and you know, sometimes they feel like they're not able to minister and serve other people like they used to, maybe, or maybe they just don't feel like they have as much purpose without children to care for, or a husband to care for, or a wife to care for. And I would just encourage, if the Lord has you here, you know, there's still opportunities for you to serve. One of the things that one of my old pastors would say is, like, if you're still breathing, like, God still has work for you to do.
Carissa Garcia next. Carissa Garcia writes, single people in the U.S. are currently living through what the Institute for Family Studies has labeled a dating recession. Over 70% of Gen Z and millennials say they hope to marry someday, but only about 1 in 3 report actively dating. Compared to previous generations, Carissa says her generation is delaying dating, marriage, and having children. In her world piece, Singles in the Church Need Help, she's calling on older people in the church to step up and offer that help. Here's Spencer Dahlke.
What prompted this article? Is this an assignment, or did something maybe catch your attention about this subject of dating and marriage?
No, it was not an assignment, but I wrote it basically out of personal experience and some different things in the last year with dating, getting to know guys over the last few years, and just some of the observations that I've made with some of those struggles at personal level, but also with talking to some of the guys that I have dated over the years, and also talking to my own friends who are in, you know, my own peers in a similar place in life who are single, who desire to be married, who are Christian people. And yeah, just we seem to be coming up against, you know, real struggles in this area. It's not been very easy to find maybe the right person or whatever the case is. And I've just seen difficulty on my own end, and then with my friends and other people that I'm interacting with. So it was really just, yeah, my own personal experiences and interacting with some other people who encouraged me to put my thoughts down on paper that I might have something I could share with other people. Initially, I was just kind of like, I can't really say anything. I don't know, like, why should anyone listen to me? You know, I'm not really anyone significant. I'm not a popular writer or anything like that, you know? So yeah, some people just encouraged me to be like, hey, you are experiencing this and you have a perspective that could be helpful, so you could at least try it. And so I tried to write my thoughts down, shared it with my editor, and they're like, okay, this is good. We'd run this. So
you mentioned something that it seems to me can maybe be an ambiguous term. We talk about not being able to find someone as singles. What do you understand by not being able to find someone? Is it the lack of men on the earth? Is it lack of good quality men? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I would not say it's a lack of people. We have people, you know, out there who are also single. One of the things that I've really been thinking through in the last year or so at a personal level is, okay, the people who might be options, you know, these are godly people, maybe in my church or in other churches similar to my church, you know. And so in terms of there being people, they're there. But sometimes, as a woman, at least, if you're interested in someone, you're the woman, you can't necessarily like always initiate that, right? You want a Christian man maybe to initiate. And I've seen struggles there with like men being willing to initiate, take the risk at times. But I've also seen problems on the female side with women being open to even just getting to know someone, to go on a date with them. And so we put ourselves in difficult situations, really. It's not that it's so hard to find someone. It's more like the sifting through of like, okay, you know, does this person have the same values as me? You know, they might be a Christian, but maybe there's some doctrinal differences or other things, personality things that come in. So yeah, a lack of options in that sense. But I think when you get down to other things, it can be harder to find someone. And then sometimes people aren't so willing, I think, to even take the risk. And I'm seeing that a lot as well.
It seems like on social media, I see this all the time, like at least from a man's perspective, like a lot of men go out and they just pick up women. And I wonder, like, is this supposed to be encouraging? Like, oh, guys, it's not that hard. But also, I mean, social media doesn't always accurately reflect the real world. So how much do you think this, what you call dating recession, is prompted by social media and the wanting but not knowing how to get there? You know, the fear, maybe?
Yes, that's it. I mean, I think a lot of my generation, being Gen Z, our lives have been very shaped by social ways that previous generations have not. And so one of the things I wrote about in that column was just how our parents experience dating, our grandparents experience dating, is actually very often very different. I mean, of course, there's some things like Ecclesiastes talk about, you know, there's nothing new under the sun in one sense. But in another sense, I think we have to realize that we live in this technological age. It's very different from our previous generations. And yeah, I mean, there's studies showing that our generation is extremely just risk averse. We're very afraid to take risks. And so social media shows us this sense of, I think it offers this idea that if you reach out to someone, if you send them a DM, if you send them a text message, it lessens that risk between that communication and the one-on-one you have to have with someone. And so I think we, as a generation, being risk averse, being more comfortable even with an online presence than we are in person at times. Yeah, I think we're really struggling. And it's been, we're seeing just studies are showing like we are struggling with that human interaction. And even COVID, with a lot of people being in college or high school during COVID, I think that also really affected how we're willing to interact with other people. And we feel more comfortable with a screen between us than, you know, just face to face. And I think that's, yeah, something to be addressed. And we just need people to try to help us with that. Some people, if you're an extrovert, it might be easier. I'm an extrovert, so to me, it's not quite as big of a deal. But a lot of people are introverts. And so, you know, it's just harder.
As you were like looking at this, presumably thinking about like, why is it hard? Why is it hard to date? Was there anything surprising as you were kind of like thinking about this, reflecting on it, epiphanies maybe that you had that said, oh, maybe that's what's going on. Things that maybe we don't think about as much as some of these other more common explanations.
I think one of the things that kind of became more of a like light bulb moment and was one of the reasons I felt like I should write about this topic in the way I did, with saying older people in the church need to help the younger people in the church, was thinking about how our parents talk to us a lot about finding a good person, a Christian, but at least at a personal level, I don't feel like I got a lot of practical help with like, okay, if someone is approaching you and is interested in getting to know you, how do you respond? How do you think about that? And I felt pressure in my own experience, and I know other people feel a lot of pressure in certain circles where you don't have just like, oh, people going on dates regularly, where if someone approaches you, it feels like a really big deal. And it feels almost like if I say yes to going on this date, do I basically have to marry this person? I mean, that's, you know, it kind of sounds ridiculous. I think someone would hear that and say, that's so ridiculous. But I think that's actually how a lot of younger people can feel, because there's been all the sort of like, you know, you only date someone with the intention of marrying them, which is great advice and heartily agree with that. But I think that like our parents and some of the older generation have not done as well with just, you know, helping us in some of the lower pressure areas and stages leading up to like finding someone to marry, where often it's like guys over here, girls over here. Oh, you were talking to that guy over there for a while. Is there something going on? It's like, we're just friends. Like, can we not just interact? That was a little more eye-opening to me, just realizing like, oh, we kind of like have grown up in this environment and culture, which was very well intended. You know, our parents loved us. They wanted to protect us. They wanted our experiences to be different from their experiences. I understand that and am thankful for that. But I think we have, from our parents at times, from maybe other older people in the church, you know, maybe they're just not giving incredibly practical advice. It's a lot of generalizations and, you know, maybe theological advice, which is great, but we also need some hands-on help too.
I sometimes wonder too, if maybe marriage has been so idealized and put on a pedestal that it seems almost unattainable, even though it's really a lot simpler than we make it out to be, it seems to me. Has that been your experience? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thought, because most people, you know, growing up, it's the normal way of things to get married, to have a family. And so I think most people want that. And so when you don't have that, maybe at a normal time where you feel like you should, it definitely, you know, you start to think about them, or you start to think, well, like, what's wrong with me? Like, you know, just what am I doing wrong? Or like, am I just not in the right place to meet people, or, you know, whatever it might be. And like, I think a struggle, at least if you're older and not married, you know, in your older 20s and not married, is you start to see people younger than you getting married and starting families. And you're thinking, you know, I think there's a temptation where we get in our heads just to be too much in our heads and interpret God's providence in ways that, you know, we really shouldn't be interpreting it, but to think like, you know, I must be doing something wrong because God's not giving me this blessing of marriage. And like, we know marriage is a blessing. We know a godly spouse is a blessing from the Lord. So we can kind of get in our own heads and think, well, you know, maybe I'm doing something wrong and maybe I'm making it an idol, or maybe, you know, it can be all kinds of things we can come up with, because in the church, I mean, it's the normal way of things. And so we want to have a high view of marriage. And, you know, people who are married are usually like, it's pretty great being married most of the time, you know? So it's just kind of like, there must be something wrong with me. Am I doing something wrong? Like, maybe I'm sinning and God's not giving me this blessing. So I think even there, like, I think we just need to talk about that with married people, especially. I mean, I have married friends and they talk to me about being single and how they can encourage me. And I feel like we need more of that for single people. Just know where they're at, know the struggles. Don't make assumptions. Just ask them questions and see where they're at and try to encourage them. And I've had that in my own life. And, you know, if you're in a similar situation too, you know, it can be really discouraging. It can be depressing when you think this is a good thing to desire. And I'm trying to serve the Lord, I'm trying to seek his kingdom, but he's not giving me this good thing. You know, we can get in our head about it. So we need other people to come alongside and really encourage us and help us.
One other thought that just kind of crossed my head, and I'm just curious what you think, is how much of this dating recession is driven by feeling like we need to find the perfect spouse. You mentioned, you know, doctrinal. She's got to be on board with my same doctrine. She's got to have all my same values. She's got to be all of these sorts of things. How much of that do you think is driving?
I think it's a factor for sure, because, you know, we should want to be closely aligned with whoever we're married as much as possible. I think, you know, you want to have to be equally yoked, both in doctrine and practice, because you might have maybe similar doctrine, but maybe your practice is different. Maybe your idea of how you worship is different, right? So we want to be wise in that. We want to make sure when you're getting married, you're being wise about that. And then for your future children, if you have children, that they'll be in a stable place where your parents aren't necessarily like, they have very different ideas that can just cause tension. And so, you know, it's just, it might be wise to think through those things. I think movies, with books, with social media, you know, we are constantly inundated with this, oh, here's the perfect person, and he was my soulmate, or she was my soulmate, and we met each other, and it was just wonderful. And it's like, and they have to be, you know, there was that whole thing, 6'5", blue eyes, you know, in finance. And it's just like, we do have that problem, because we live in a world where, you know, before, when people didn't have the internet, you were limited to basically like the people you were around and your communities. And now we have the whole entire globe at our fingertips to see, wow, here's this, you know, person over here and this person over there. And so I think for Christians too, I think we can think we have more options at times than we maybe really do in reality, because we just think, you know, well, I don't have to look in my own little circle. I can like, nope, not that the Lord can't do that. And I know people who have met on the internet or whatever, you know, I know it happens, but I do think there can be this unrealistic standard and ideal for both men and women. I think often women struggle with that, especially just wanting the perfect guy who meets every ideal, who's like Mr. Darcy, but also, you know, just like all, you know, all the different things. And so, I do think that is a factor. We have to be realistic and just realize like, hey, I'm not perfect. So if someone's going to be interested in me, they're interested in someone who's not perfect, who's not a model, who isn't always amazing at things. That's okay. I'm a human. I have good qualities. Like, let me see their good qualities too.
My guest today is Carissa Garcia. She's editorial assistant for World Digital and author of Singles in the Church Need Help. Maybe got a little bit of the Baskin-Robbins effect going on. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, exactly. Even decision fatigue. I think a lot of people struggle with that too, of like, if you're on a dating app, which I've not done dating apps, but I do hear stories from people. And so you know, when you're just seeing all these, you know, it can get to the point where it's just like, it's too much. I'm just not even going to bother.
Turning attention, I guess, to like, okay, so then what can older people do? Why do you think older people aren't, I wouldn't be able to point to historical sources, so maybe I'm just completely off base. But it seems like not too long ago that older people, parents, grandparents, you know, church members used to be more involved in the love lives of the younger people in their church. Has something changed? Like, why do we maybe not see that as much anymore?
I think you're right. I think we have seen a change there because, I don't know, you think of things where there were matchmakers and people like Katie Faust has, you know, have written about this, you know, this idea of like, let's bring back matchmaking, let's bring back, you know, helping young people. And I guess that change, you know, I have to imagine there's got to be influence there just with the world and culture around us. You know, we've had feminism since last century coming into the churches. We've had even liberalism coming in. We also just have this sense in America of being individuals, and I kind of just want to be able to do what I want to do. And like, we know that that's really a biblical idea, but you know, those things still can bleed and seep into the church at times. And so I think some of the generations, you know, they maybe just thought, well, you know, maybe we can be a little more hands off, let them figure things out on their own and like, you know, make these decisions on their own. And maybe for our parents, they wanted that when they were younger, maybe. And so it's kind of a, well, let me, you know, give my child that. I'm not sure, you know, I'd have to talk to more adults and get their point. Because I do know Christian parents who've been very intentional and very just like very involved. And so I think that's wonderful. I'm so thankful there are, you know, Christian parents who are that way. But I do think others, yeah, again, just maybe don't know what they're doing either. And so don't necessarily feel like they can speak into things as well. One of the things I wrote about was just, you know, if your parents weren't Christians when they were younger, they might just feel like they're not qualified to give you advice and something like that when they didn't go through a similar thing as a Christian. Even for the older generations in churches, I think there's sometimes a sense that maybe they don't want to step on people's toes either. They might think that parents kind of have a handle on it. And so, you know, they may have their own thoughts and opinions, but, you know, they might not always share them just because they think, hey, like, that's not my child. That's not my kid. Like, if they're doing it this way, you know, okay, like, maybe just kind of step back. And so I think that's one of the big reasons that I just felt kind of compelled to write and to encourage older generations of, like, please be involved in our lives. Like, we don't know what we're doing. We are not, you know, 50, 60, 70 years old. We don't have all these years of decades of wisdom and life experience. And so just, you know, we might not do exactly what you tell us to do, but even just knowing you're invested in us and offering advice. And I think for most singles who are, you know, open to just hearing from other people, like whatever they say, even if it's not directly applicable to their life, will still be appreciated.
I wonder if as conservatives, especially, that anything that smacks of takes a village to raise a child, oh, it's socialism, get that out of here, would not help. No. Yeah. Community structures seem to be lacking today. And maybe, I don't know, I theorize maybe that's part of the reason why we feel lonely. We feel whatever, is we don't have the people to round us out as human beings, maybe, to put it in that particular way. What practical good do you think older generations in their church can help facilitate the dating lives?
Having Bible studies, having get-togethers, you know, even times of, hey, we're having a cookout, like, come over. I'd love to spend time with y'all. I think doing things like that, you know, you're still respecting parents and their authority over their own young people and stuff like that. But you're also investing, you're caring about the young people in your churches. And I've known, they just open their house, they're very hospitable, and they just say, hey, you know, tonight we're having a Bible study, or this day where everyone's just coming, hanging out, we're having a pool party, like, where they're just trying to invite people, just trying to get people into their house, you know, whether they're single or not, but just to facilitate fellowship and, like you said, community. And then I've had some people who will intentionally just have conversations and say, hey, like, how are you doing in this area and in this area? And do you want to be married? You know, what are your thoughts on that? Where are you at? What are you looking for? Being willing and open to having those conversations with the single people that you know, I think is very meaningful. It shows them that you do care about them. And just because you're married and living your life, it's not like you've forgotten them since they're not at that same place as you. And so I think just trying to foster those relationships, and in that way, being a mentor, you know, for older women, they can find a single woman to try to mentor and encourage. For men, they can do the same with the young men. Because what I've seen in some of my circles is sometimes you have single people and their families aren't actually part of the church that they're in. You know, maybe they live far away from the rest of their family. Maybe their family is not Christian. And so there's definitely a gap that needs to be filled in the sense of just caring for someone, mentoring them, coming alongside them, discipling them. I think especially for those people who are in a bit more of a vulnerable place of just being, you know, maybe the only person in their family in that church, to keep an eye out for that and just really to love them and to care about their life. I was reading an interesting statistic that said, likely there will just be a lot more single people in the church as the years go by. And so I think we need to spend time now thinking about how are we going to reach out to those single people? You know, how are we going to make sure they feel incorporated into the church life and the body of Christ? Because they're still a part of the body of Christ. And, you know, we don't want to forget them. We can start working on that now and making sure we're including them and caring about them. Yeah, Lord willing, in the future, when there may be more at that stage, you know, who just never got married, never had children, they'll still know that they're a very valuable part of the body of Christ.
What encouragement would you offer as a single person to the older generation? Maybe they are used to just letting, it's hard to change courses, you know, as creatures of habit, and just suddenly do a different thing. And suddenly we're going to be more active in the dating life. What encouragement would you offer to older people to feel free to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just at a personal level, and I think many of my peers would probably feel the same way, don't be afraid to approach us. Don't be afraid to ask us a bit more personal questions. If you have some sort of a good dynamic and relationship with someone already that you can build off of, yeah, get personal. It's we honestly, I think a lot of people don't get personal with us at that level and can shy away from that. And so we don't always have opportunity to kind of just share like where we're at. So I would say, don't be afraid, you know, take a chance to get to know some better, ask, you know, particular questions, see where they're at. And also the Bible talks about bearing fruit in old age, you know, just like everyone else, none of us can sit back and kind of ride the current of whatever our Christian experience has been, right? We have to strive to enter in to the kingdom of heaven, and we want to continue to bear fruit all the days of our lives. And for older people, I think knowing, I have some dear friends who are older single people, and, you know, sometimes they feel like they're not able to minister and serve other people like they used to, maybe, or maybe they just don't feel like they have as much purpose without children to care for, or a husband to care for, or a wife to care for. And I would just encourage, if the Lord has you here, you know, there's still opportunities for you to serve. One of the things that one of my old pastors would say is like, if you're still breathing, like, God still has work for you to do. And when your work is done, he'll take you to glory. And so if you're still in the church, you can at least reach out to people and ask them, how can I be praying for you? And prayer is such an important thing that we can downplay a lot. But it is the way the Lord works, and he uses prayer. I just heard a sermon about Elijah, and how James talks about Elijah was a man of like passions, you know, similar to us. But he prayed earnestly, and the Lord heard his prayers and answered them. And so you can pray for these single people. The Lord has to build up his church. It's one of the ways he does it.
I've had a number of interviews in the past about how the older people can often sometimes be forgotten too in the church. And this is just a great way to like invite them back into the congregation and say, like, as young people, we need you just as much as maybe you need us to come alongside you. And so again, I just, community is a good thing. It is a good thing. And it's humbling, reaching out for help.
Yeah. We have to be humble. We have to be open to hearing from other people. And like you were saying, we need everyone, right? God made us as a whole body. And he talks about one part of the body can't say to the other part of the body, I don't need you. And, you know, it's typically the young people that will say to the older people, oh, we don't need your advice, right? But obviously we do. We really do. And then when they can come into our lives and you just have the generations intermingling and interacting, you know, I think that really is just the best way for it to be rather than so segregated at times, you know, in churches and in society. Like we need each other.
How can singles then be inviting and exude, I guess, a spirit of invitation rather than standoffishness to the older people so that they feel welcome to step in and be involved?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think having relationships with as many people in the church as you can. So if you're a single person, Paul talks about we're not burdened with a spouse, with a family. The person who's married has a lot of different things to think about. Yeah, and not saying singles don't have other things that they're busy with, because I'm sure they do, and most of us do. But as a single person, you are a little more free to kind of talk to people and go here and there. And so I would just say, you know, when you're at church, strike up conversations with people that maybe you don't always talk to. Try to get to know as many people at your church as you can. Even if there's someone that you're initially like, I don't really click with that person, I don't really have much in common, they're a brother or sister, you can at least just go talk to them, see how they're doing, what's going on in their lives. Everyone always wants people to minister to them, right? But we need to minister to other people. So Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So don't just think, how can this person bless me if I'm going to go talk to them? Think, how can I be a blessing to whoever I'm going to come in contact with today at church or wherever I am? And just be interested in them, because they're a human being too. And, you know, even for married people, I think married people don't want to just be seen as like, well, I'm just a married person, or I'm just a mom and a dad, and that's it, right? There's more to that person than that. So, you know, see them as people. You want people to see you as a person, see other people as people, and care about them.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to today's guest, Carissa Garcia. She's a writer for World Magazine, and we've been discussing her piece, Singles in the Church Need Help. If you'd like to read it, go to wng.org. On tomorrow's program, it's Chuck Coker on how neuroscientific evidence points to human flourishing in God.
The brain now opens up to dimensions that it did not have before. I have literally watched a student read a passage from the Bible and say, I don't get it. Within an hour or two, they were convinced that they needed to accept Christ as their Savior. I asked them to read the passage again, and they said, oh, I get it, I understand.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.